Yesterday we left off discussing the issue with our Mishnah, why we have a chashash about returning the shtar chov to the malveh, and the ability for one to write a shtar chov, for instance, when the lov is present, the malveh is not present. If our Mishnah is a case of kashachayev modeh, when the debtor is admitting to the fact anyway, then how is that different when the debtor shows up to the sofer and has him write? So yesterday we had differentiated between Rav Asi, or Rav Hanano has a Rav Ashi as the Girsa, that Shtar Yachnohu, the Shabbat Nafshe, that there are different types of contracts, there's different types of Shtar Yachnohu. There's a regular Shtar Chol, which is a Shtar Chol in which a person obligates himself at the time of the loan, he encumbers his property, the Shibud begins, and that's the beginning of the loan. And there's something called a Shtar Yachnohu. Shtar Yachnohu is where you are Meshabed yourself before the time that the loan is actually distributed to you, or before you draw down on the credit line. But you're Meshabed yourself from day one, from the time that the contract is drawn up. Then you are Meshabed Nafshei. That credit line creates a Shibud Aguf, or a Shibud Nefesh already at that point in time. And then from the point that you draw the money down is irrelevant to when the Shibud starts. So that's how we answered it. You can only write, the sofer is only allowed to write a document or shtar chov without the malveh being present when it's a shtar chov. But from that point forward, there is a shibud nafshei. So it's irrelevant when the actual loan takes place. As opposed to a regular shtar, it is relevant when the loan takes place, and therefore you can't write it without the malveh being present, without the loan actually happening. So why about our Mishnah? And our Mishnah, why do we worry about it? So this was Rashi's answer was because we had there's some sort of rate, there's some sort of gam in the shtar that it fell. Since it fell already, then we're going to suspect other things. Even though a sofer in general is not allowed to write such a shtar, maybe it happened that such a shtar was written, and we're going to worry about it. So that's the way we concluded the Gemara yesterday. I just want to point out that Rabbeinu Hanano has an interesting line here with shtar yachnoh. He says, he has that it's Ravashi, is the girsa, if you look at four lines down in the Rabbeinu Hanano. He says, the hash shiba nafshei bichali pin. V'chayshina l'nitzinat ma'ot. So the Beno Kanano requires an additional kinyan to create the shibud nefesh by the shtar yachnoh. It's not simply that when you write the shtar yachnoh that creates the shibud, and then when the money is lent, you know, fine, that's what happens later on after the document's in place. But rather, you have to have a kinyan chalipin to generate the shibud nefesh, the shibud aguf up front, and then you have the lending of the loan, the tinat ha'maot, which takes place later on. It's just interesting that Beno Kanano requires an additional kinyan to be up there to create that shibud aguf. Right now, Abai offers an alternative shot over here. And he says, Abai Amar, Edav bechatumav zachino, vafilu shtarei talab hakna'a. Abai says that there is a difference that we don't have to differentiate between shtarei hakna'a and regular shtarot. Why? Because every shtar, the shibud aguf, begins with the signature of the edim. As soon as they even sign on the document, that's when the shibud nefesh begins, irrespective of when you have the distribution of the money. So why is this? Mishum the kashle. Because he can't accept, within the explanation of Ravashi, you couldn't accept, Kevin damarit bishtari de lavakna, ki leite de malva bade lo katvinun. Right? So he couldn't understand, or it doesn't make sense to him, that if we have a principle or a general rule that the sofer may not write a document when the malveh is not present, leka lemechash dikri vikotuv. It doesn't make sense to say, okay, now let us be suspicious that maybe somebody did it anyway. So that just doesn't make sense. If the rule is that you can only write a shtar chov without the malveh there, and only when it's a regular shtar, you can only write it with the malveh there, so we're going to worry all of a sudden about this case where somebody ignored the rules and did it anyway. That, he says, doesn't make so much sense. Ella, hadith none. Right, so what about the Mishnah? Matze giti nashim, v'shukhre avadim, zaitiki, matana, v'shovarim. If a person found a guest, right, a woman's guest, or a shechur, get shechur, or a daitiki is, right, is the documentation of the last will and testament of a shkimera, right, a matana of a bari, right, a regular gift, or shovarim, or some sort of receipt for payment, hare ze lo yachzir, don't return them, shemak tuvimayu, venimachalayim, shaloni name, lead me to name. So maybe they were written, but the owner, or whoever was giving this shtar to another person, didn't give it in the end. The baal didn't give it to his wife. The owner, the adom, didn't give it to his servant. Whatever the circumstance is, it might have been written, but never actually given. V'chi nimlach aleihem, my hobby. Right? Wait a minute. And when he decides anyway to give them, what's the difference? V'ha'amart edav v'chatumah zokeno. Right? So you said that the signatures on the document make it effective. So why do we care? Why do we care if it gets to them? I mean, that as soon as they were signed, they didn't sign on the document, that means that it was in effect. So the get isha was good, the get shechva was good, everything was good. So I says, no. That's honey mealay hey the muscle a day. Means that's only if the receiving party got it. Right. The agent go into effect, assuming, right, that the party got it, assuming that the document was given to the individual. I mean, a get isha, you can't say just because the agent were chotem on it, that the get's effective. The get's only effective when it reaches the woman. But, okay, once it reaches the woman, it's the signature of the edim, from that point forward, that is when it was effective. So then, if it doesn't reach their hand, right, then we don't say it. So now, Tobrashi says over this, based on this, how can you ever have what's called Shkariyakova Mugdomim, according to Abaye? Rabbi Tobrashi points out, Rashi talks about the fact that Shkariyakova Mugdomim are Pusun, and Mu'acharim are Ksherim. Predated Shtarot and Shtarikov are problematic, but postdated Shtarot are not problematic. According to Abaye, how do you ever have a case of predated Shtarot? Because as soon as they sign, that's the effective date. Even if the loan is only given later, the effective date is from the time of the signing of the Edim. So the answer is obviously that you could create a Shtar where it's dated and the Edim only sign it at a later date. I mean, that's the point. So that's the Rashi says. Shtarikov Mugdom Sulim, Makorim Ksherim, B'mai Mukila Abaye. You could create there could be some sort of a par, there could be a gap between the writing of the shtar and the actual signing of the shtar. And that's how you can get the shtar ha mukdam. Right? So the only thing you have to be careful according to Abaye is that the signing of by the edim is at the same time that the shtar is dated. Otherwise, the shtar is not a mukdam. Now, my question is, what do you do with our Mishnah, the Tony, Matza Shtarechov? We found a star called Yesh Behem Achriut Nechazim Lo Yachzir. Right, so if it has Achriut Nechazim, you shouldn't give it back. Well, Kimna, because Shechayav Moden. And we said, but obviously that's when the debtor agreed that there was a loan outstanding. And we showed him Shem Akot of Lovot Benisan, Vilolavad Tishrei. And we said the problem was because maybe he wrote it in Nisan and then he only borrowed in Tishrei. According to Abai, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But go ahead. If he wrote it in Tishrei, the item signed, then it's no issue. So when it says, Vish, some of the Rav Asi, Damer, Shtari, Aknaita, Mukhida, Bishtari, the Lava Aknaita. According to Rav Asi, right, or Rav Ashi, whatever the Girth is, who says there's a difference between Shtar Aknaita and a regular Shtar Milveh, then you can set up our Mishnah as a case of regular Shtar Milveh. In that case, it is a problem if you predate the Shtar. Uvid Amrina, as we explained, Elav, Aye, the Amar, Eda, Bukhatumazak, and the Ma'ika, the Meimar, there is no problem if you have that. Even if they sign the document early, no matter what type of Shtar, they signed it early, it's not an issue because the signature is what creates the shibud. What is the issue in our Mishnah? The chayish lepir own ulukununya. We worry about the fact that it could have been paid back, number one. There's a possibility that even though chayav modeh, right, and it could have been paid back, that's one issue. That's why even if the lover doesn't admit, we worry about giving it back because of the fact that there is a possibility of paid effect. And number two, we worry about even kishchayev mudeh, even when the debtor agrees to the fact that there is a loan outstanding, why do we not give it back to the knunya? What's knunya? Knunya is that they are aiding and abetting each other. They are like partners in crime here, where the loveh and the malveh, the loveh went ahead and sold all his property right before the loan was ever given. So they go ahead and they say, he goes back to the malveh, says, listen, you know, if we predate this shtar before all the property I sold, you can go take this property from the people that I sold. So let's predate the shtar and we'll split it. You go, we'll take the property from them and we'll split the difference. So that's knunya. So we say we don't give it back, even when both agree, because it's a detriment of the lekuchos. So we're not going to do something that's a detriment of the lekuchos. So I said, oh, Shmuel, that might look kashin on the period of the knunya. According to Shmuel, who we're going to see in a minute, right? We're going to see next at the top of Yudan Manalas, who says we don't worry about Piron, and we don't worry about Kanunya. I mean, that we're not kosher for those things. Ma'ika the Meimar. How is he going to explain this Gemara according to Rabbi? So he says, Enicha yisav alak Ravati. If he owns a Ravati, then there's no issue. Because Amar b'shari akna, muki masnitsin, b'shari the love akna. Right? And when he explains that shari akna is the case by the Mishnah of Kosmin Shtar the Lovet, Apapishay Mavaymo, and our Mishnah is a case where Shtari the Lavakna, and our Mishnah is a case where they're not Shtari the Lavakna, then you can explain the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is not an issue of Chayis of Piron or Chayis of Kunyunya. Problem is a predated Shtar. That's what we're worried about in the Mishnah. Not even Abaye can agree that we worry about a predated Shtar. If he holds like Abaye, that the problem in our Mishnah is not predating the Shtar, but rather, right, the problem is that we're worried it was paid, or there is some sort of crime being committed over here, that they are colluding to take the money. Right? That's no problem. He'll set up our Mishnah when the lover does not agree, when the debtor does not agree. So, if the lover doesn't agree, then it makes sense why we don't give back the document. But then the Gemara says, alright, so that explains the part why we don't give back the shekels. There's a part of our Mishnah that says that when it does not have achriyut nechassim, that you do give it back to the malveh. Why should we give it back if the lover says it doesn't belong? So Mar says, Nehidul amagabim mishabdeh, true, we don't collect from encumbered property, but you still would take from his free and clear property. So why wouldn't he hand it back to the malveh and say, go ahead, you can collect that as a debtor. If the debtor thing, I never had such a loan. Shmuel Tamei, the Mashmuel, Omer Hayer Rabbi Meir Shtachov Shein Bo Achriut Nechatzim In Gover Lo Mishabdei Velo Bnei Becharim. So Shmuel holds with Rabbi Meir, who holds that if there is no Achriut Nechatzim in the contract, in the Shtachov, then you don't get anything. You can't collect anything with that. It's a zero, right? It's worthless. The document is worthless, and therefore you can't collect neither from Mishabdei or Bnei Charim. So Mishabdei Shein Bo Gover Amayachzir. If it's worthless, then why are we giving it back to him? What are we giving it back to him? He says, I'm a Rabbi Nathan Bar Shir, no problem, let's throw a piece of chito, shel malveh, to give him, he needs a stopper. He needs a stopper for his little pitcher, he needs a stopper for his perfume bottle, whatever it is that he needs a new cork for. So that's why I hand him back the shtar. Not as a shtar, because the shtar has any value as a shtar, it has value as paper. So it takes the paper to use it as a stopper. So my says,
I understand, according to Shmuel, if you give it back, you can't just come to the
Lohan
and say, listen, I have a shtar, you owe me money?
No, because there's no achriyut nechassim in it. I mean, nothing with the shtar. The shtar, the good is having a shtar, you know, I mean, not that the zechut milvah never happened. The shtar is worthless. It doesn't mean anything. When it doesn't have achriyut nechassim in it, it's not a shtar. That's what he said. So you show up, it's like, you know.
But it's a proof that there was a loan.
Not necessarily. The Lohan says nothing happened. Lohan says nothing ever happened. And Rabbi Meir says such a star you can't collect anything with, so now you have nothing. How are you going to collect? There's no admission. Mar says, in the Adre, the Hulu Lovet, the Surah, please be close to Yosha Lovet. Why are you giving it to the Malveh to use in his court? Why don't you give it to the Lovet to get used in the court for himself? Why the Malveh, not the Lovet? It says, who's Amar? Damar, do I use for him? He says it never happened. If he says it never happened, why are we going to give him the contract? I mean, it makes no sense to give him the contract. He doesn't even admit that such a thing took place, so. If we give him the shtar, then it's some admission that there was actually, you know, something might have happened over here. But if we give it to the malveh, then it makes sense that we give it to the, that it makes sense that we give it to the malveh if he says it actually happened, that the transaction actually happened. Right, so now, what we have so far, we're going to go, now we're going to have Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, but before we do that, let's just quickly summarize. We have an issue with our Mishnah. The issue with our Mishnah is that the Mishnah says that when you have a shtar chov, then we don't return it to the owner, right, when there is achriyut nechassim in there, but we do return it to him when there is no achriyut nechassim. The Rabbanan over here say we don't return it either way. You respect it, we don't return it. So our Mishnah sounds like that we're chosheish, that there's something wrong with the shtar. On the other hand, we have another Mishnah that states that you can write a shtar even without the malveh being present. Right, so you can sign a shtar even when the malveh is not there. The malveh can come and have the star made up and everything, even though the money is not being lent at that time. The problem is, how do we reconcile these two Mishnayot? Why? Because the explanation for why our Mishnah, we don't return it, is because we don't want a predated star. We don't want them to come and say, a star that was dated early, and the loan only happened 6 months later, we don't want such a thing to happen. Wait, well, if we're trying to prevent something like that happening, how do we allow the lovehead to write up a document with the sofer, even though the loan hasn't taken place yet? The exact same situation could come up. They write up the document, and he only borrows the money 6 months later, and he has the exact same situation. So why in one case, our Mishnah, we do worry about it, and the other Mishnah, where we have the sofer writing it up early, we've got the mavet, we don't worry about it. So that's what Gemara says. Well, that's the difference between what type of shtar is being written up. That's the answer of Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, when it's a shtar of Knoll, when it's a shtar of Knoll, which means that the document, the shibud happens immediately, despite when the loan actually happens, you celebrate a Hanano, that you might need a Kenya Khalifa, it's created, whatever you need to do, but there's a shiwit at that moment. irrespective of when the loan is taken out, then, right, we don't care about predating the shtar, because the shtar itself is what, the date on the shtar is what establishes the shiva, and that's fine. So in that case, you can go to the sofer. That's the case the sofer can write it up, even without the presence of the malveh. On the other hand, there's another type of shtar, which is a regular shtar milveh. In a regular shtar milveh, right, you have to date this shtar at the moment the loan is given, because the shiva only starts at the time that the loan is given. That's the case in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is that case, and therefore that's what we're working for in the Mishnah. Even though a sofer is not allowed to write such a shtar, right, for without the malveh being present, because of the exact problem that we don't want it to be in effect until the loan is actually outstanding. Nevertheless, we're worried now, because it fell already, we're worried that maybe it failed because people weren't watching it. Why weren't they taking care of this document? Because they knew it was a bad document. Why was it that bad document? Because it's predated. It was written by the sofer before the loan was outstanding. Therefore, we're chashish for that. But along comes the Bai and says, that seems like a far-fetched type of chashash. That we're chashish that somebody predated the shtar, and then, even though you're not allowed to do it. So the Bai says, no. All shtarot, the shiva starts from the moment that it's signed. That means everything. Everything is good. So that explains the fact that a sofer can write it even without the presence of a malveh, because as soon as it's signed by the Edim, the shiva starts then. Even if the loan is never taken out, it's kind of standing until 6 months later. We don't care about that. We care about when the Edim signs. So that's the case to explain the Mishnah nicely about sofer, but we can't explain our Mishnah. That explains the fact that our Mishnah, we're chashish, in our Mishnah for a shtar that falls, right, we're chashish to giving it back because of a predated shtar. Why should we be chashish? It's okay if it's predated as long as the Edim signed. Then let's give it back. Why shouldn't we give it back? So the Gemara says, no, our case with the chashash in our Mishnah is not about the signing or the shibud, but rather with what happened after the fact. I mean, whether it was paid already, piron, we worry about piron, and we worry about tnunya. We worry about the fact that it might have been paid off already, so we don't want to hand it back to the malveh. And even when the loveh admits that it's an outstanding loan, we worry about tnunya. We worry that they're colluding to go get the money, to get the property out of the kuchot, who bought the property afterwards, and they're trying to collude to get this, take that property. So because of that, we don't return the shtar to the malveh. So that would be the end of the clear. We had a sidebar where we had to discuss Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel's opinion, that is, that we don't worry about tnunya, we don't worry about collusion, and we don't worry about piron, about being paid off. So according to him, he could explain our Mishnah, the steer between the Mishnah, and he could explain it like Abasi, no problem. The question is, how does he explain it like Abaye? Because according to Abaye, the whole chashash in our Mishnah is of tnunya and piron, something that Shmuel doesn't consider. So Shmuel doesn't consider it, how does he explain our Mishnah? So he says our Mishnah is kishein chayav hodeh. Shmuel will say that our Mishnah is a case where the debtor does not agree that the documents were given. So if the debtor doesn't agree that the documents are not given, okay, that explains why the Chachamim's position. That explains the Tanakhama, where the mayor's position, why we don't give back the documents, because, right, we were worried that the Lobos says it never happened, so we don't give back the documents. But there is one case in the Mishnah where we do give back the document, but there is no Akhriyut Nechassim, we hand it back. So if there's no Akhriyut Nechassim, we hand back the document, why are we worried if the Lobos says it never happened? So he says, this is Rabbi Meir, the Shitato, who's the only one in the Mishnah that says we give back a document? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who says that you do give back the document, is because when there is no Akhriyut Nechassim, the document's worthless. So if the document's worthless, why are we giving it back? So he has alternative uses for the document. Use it as a stopper, use it as a plug in the pitcher. There is alternative uses for it. Why do we give it to the Malveh over the Lobe? Because the Lobe says it never happened. The Lobe at least says there was something that happened, so we give him the stopper. Right, that's the Gemara till now. Now we're going to have a Machlokas, which discusses Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Mishnah. And that is that. Right, now Rabbi Elazar, Machlokas. The Machlokas in our Mishnah is Kishayin Chayab Mudeh. It's when the debtor does not agree that it took place. So Rabbi Meir Savar Shtar Shein Bo Achrayut Nechassim Enu Guveh Lo Mimshabdei Lo Mirei Chari. So Rabbi Meir's opinion, which we just explained before, is so you don't give it back when it's Achrayut Nechassim, because we don't give it back. There's no debtor's not agreeing to the situation here, and we don't want him to be able to go get the money because he has tokef with that shtar. Why do we give him back the shtar when it has no Achrayut Nechassim? Because it's worthless, doesn't have any value to it. Rabbanan Sabre, Mijaba Gave, that even when it comes to Bnei Chari, you could be Goveh. At least from Bnei Chari, you could be Goveh. Right? So, therefore, if you could be Goveh with it, we don't hand back either shtar, because it has token, it has value to it. And here the debtor is saying it never happens. Alright? Ba'aval Kishachayav Mudeh. In a case where the debtor agrees, Divri Akol Yakuzir. Everybody agrees to give back the document, but look, Cheshin in the Perion Ulukununya. We don't worry about payment, and we don't worry about collusion. Sounds like Shmuel's opinion, right? Very similar to what we just saw in Shmuel. that we don't worry about Tiron and Kununia, therefore we'll hand back the documents when they both agree. Right now, Rabbi Yochanan and my machlokas is chayav modeh. Rabbi Yochanan says the machlokas here is only when chayav modeh, when the debtor agrees. The remeir savar star shein ba achariyut nechatsim mishib shabdeh hu delo gavi. Abun b'nei charim megavi gavi. So remeir says that when it's a star shein ba achariyut nechatsim, then you can not collect from encumbered property, but you can still collect from free and clear property. Rabban is talking mishabdeh nami gavi, that even when it doesn't have a achariyut nechatsim in it, you can take out of mishabdeh. Right? Aval kishen chayav modet, divrei kol diachzir. But when the chayav is modet, was not modet, when the debtor does not agree to it, everybody agrees, don't give it back, the chayshin on the pir'on. Being parua, and either because he says, luyad v'rim elam, or he says that there was, but I paid it off already. Now, basically we have a situation, right, where they're arguing about our Mishnah, whether it's chayav modet or in chayav modet. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, when it's chayav modet, that's where the machlokas is, and therefore, we don't give back the documents, because even though you can collect from these documents, we don't hand them back because, right, they are, the debtor is not agreeing to the whole principle over here. So now, Tanya, Gavati de Rabbi Yochanan. The surprise that supports Rabbi Yochanan, Vityuk de Rabbi Lazar, Bechado, Vityuk de Shmuel Betarte. And it presents a problem for Rabbi Lazar with one issue and two issues for Shmuel. What's this price? Matzah Shterichov. Now, Sharikov, Yeshman Achriut Nechatsim, and it does have Achriut Nechatsim in it, right? There is a lien in the document. Achati Shishnehem Mozim. So here is a case where Chayav Mozet, they both agree with. Lo Yachzir, Lo Lezev, Lo Lezev. We don't give it back to the Malveh or the Lovet. Imbahun Achriut Nechatsim, it does not have a lien in the document. Zvancha Lovet Mozet, Yachzir, the Malveh. When the Lovet agrees to it, then you return it to the Malveh. Ain't a lovet mozeh, if the lovet does not agree, lo yachzir, lo lezeh, lo lezeh, you don't return it to either of them. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Right, that's the lashon of Rabbi Meir, because this sounds exactly like Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of Rabbi Meir. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, starei chov, sheish men achayu nechassim, starei chov that have a lien in them, goveh min nechassim mishubadim. V'sheim b'ayin achayu nechassim, goveh min nechassim b'nei chorim. When it comes to they don't have a lien in it, then you can collect from b'nei chorim. So because of that, we don't return it. And Elaim came, right? The Lovet says it's Chayav Modet. He says that I agree to it. So Chamim Amrim, Echad Zeh Vechad Zeh Goveh Menechatsim Shubadim. Doesn't matter whether it has Achriyut Nechatsim, it does not have Achriyut Nechatsim in it, whether it's a lien or not. You still can be Goveh from encumbered property, because Achriyut, the missing of Achriyut Nechatsim is just a Ta'ut Soferhu. It's a mistake by the Sofer, but every document should have Achriyut Nechatsim. And because of that, with any document you can go take from encumbered property, you're not going to hand it back. Right. Even kishchayav modet. Even when he agrees, because we're afraid that the possibility is that he's kanunya. They're doing some sort of collusion over here that's allowing him to go collect. All right now. Tiyupta the Rabbi Lazar Bechado. What's the Tiyupta on Rabbi Lazar? The Amr Rabbi Meir, because he says according to Rabbi Meir, Star Sha'im Bok Rayud Nechassim Eino Goven Nechassim Shevedim Below Benechassim B'nei Chorim. Because he says, right, Rabbi Meir, that a document is worthless, right, when there is no Achriyut Nechassim. There's no lien in it, it's a worthless document. But Kamar. And he also says, Ben Rabbi Meir, Ben Rabbanan, Lo Cheshin and the Knunya. According to Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, we're not pushing the Knunya. Ubrais Akoni, and the Brais said, Star Shembo Achriut Nechassim Mishabdei Hu Delo Gavi. Right? Ah, Bibnei Chorin Megavi Gavi. Right? But from the Bibnei Chorin, you can't be Govet. Right? Even though, truthfully, the Mishnah says it explicitly. This year, the Gemara's Medayik from the fact that he says Mishabdei Yes. Then no, that means that Bibnei Chorin Love. Even though the Mishnah says it explicitly, it goes, oh, that's the Derech of the Gemara too. They want to show the deal rather than the explicit. But it's explicit that Rabbi Meir says in the Braisa, you can collect Bibnei Chorin. That's the problem for Bezer. Rektani, Ben the Rabbi Meir, Ben the Rabbanan, Kashin and the Knunya. It's clear from the Braisa that the Choshesh for Knunya, because otherwise why won't the Chachamim let you give it back? Shechayav Modeh, right? Tani, Am Fish Shnei Modim, Lo Yavzir, Lo Lezeh, Lo Lezeh, Koyin the Chachamim. Almo, Kashin and the Knunya. My says, well, excuse me, you know, that sounds like two to me, not one. Well, Tani Tartehu. That sounds like two issues that he had. The Braisa is arguing two issues. One is, we are chayish to the chayish the knunya. Number two is that Rabbi Meir believes that a star that doesn't have a chayud nechatsinim can be collected from b'nei chareh. That's two issues for Rabbi Lazar. Gemara says no chadu. It's really one thing. Chatamu, right? It's because it's one reason. The mishum to come, Rabbi Elazar makol kishen chayamudeh. Because Rabbi Elazar sets up our mishnah in a case where the debtor does not agree, right? Umutari talchi, he has to explain the mishnah this way. He has to explain a mayor this way and explain the chumah this way. It is really two different things, but it's both are a derivative of the explanation of his mishnah of not being a debtor. Tosfos discusses your, you know, a question mark. We're going to say in a second that for Shmuel there is two questions. Why don't we say the same thing for Shmuel? So Tosfos says it depends where you get the limud from. If Rabbi Elazar is forced by the Mishnah to explain it this way, and therefore we consider it one reason. Shmuel's statement is independent of the Mishnah, and therefore we consider it two things. So that's the way Tosfos explains the difference. About 1 second, what we're about to read. So Mark says, all right. So you have the Shmuel Batar. Say, what are the two questions on Shmuel? Chaduk Rabbi Elazar. One is like Rabbi Elazar. Davu gimatzitzim etchei chayam odeh. Because he explains our Mishnah also in a case where the debtor, right, does not agree. So Shmuel, we just said before, set up our mission in a case where the debtor doesn't agree, and we just showed that that can't be the case because that's the problem that Rabbi Elazar just had. Skado, the other problem with Shmuel, Damer Shmuel, Matzah Shtar Chaknoa B'Shuk, Yagzir the Baalim. If you find a Shtar Chaknoa in the Shuk, you return it to the Baalim, below Chai Shinan, live here own. And you don't worry about the fact that it might have been paid off. Right, so here, when you don't have anybody, you just mine it in the Shuk, you pick it up, you hand it back to the Malveh. Right, our Mishnah clearly says that the Chachamim say don't give it back because Chayshin and the Pir own. Right, and here Shmuel says hand it right back to him. Lo Chayshin and the Pir own. So this is why Tosfos says it's a second question on Shmuel. Because true, he also explains. He has to explain when he says Shchein Chayav Modeh. When he says that it's our Mishnah, the case of the debtor doesn't agree. He also has to explain that the Chachamim believe right that Lo Chayshin and the Pir own. Right, but that's also, but the problem is that Shmuel also makes an independent statement. Nothing to do with their Mishnah. Independent of that, he says, you find a Shtar Akhna in the Shuk, turn it to Balim, look like Shinna Piron. That's why there's a second question on Shmuel, because he makes an independent statement, independent of our Mishnah. Nothing to do with the Mishnah. We're not close to the Piron. And that's clear from this verse that we are close to the Piron, to Yukta, right, because it says, Akhna Dani Hakha, Apple Pisha Shnei Modim, even if they both agree, Lo Yakhzir Lo Lezev, Lo Lezev. Even if Chayav Modeh, even if the debtor agrees, we don't return to either. Alma Chayshin on the Pir own. Clear that we worry about repayment. V'chosh Kein Hachad Lo Modeh Lovah to Chayshin on the Pir own. Certainly over here, where the Lovah is not even agreeing or is not around, right, then of course we're going to worry about it being paid back. In case of mission, we worry about it being paid back, and therefore we're Chosh Shlitz Nunya. Right, so certainly over here, where we don't even know what the Lovah did over here. Why are you going to hand the document back? We're going to be Chosh Shlitz Pir own, and that will go against Shmuel. Right over here, which says that we're not close to the Piron. Okay, we'll stop over here.